Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio. Brought to you by OnPay. Built in Atlanta, OnPay is the top-rated payroll and HR software anywhere. Get 1 month free at onpay.com. Now, here's your host.
Welcome to Atlanta Business Radio. Stone Payton here with you this morning, and you are in for a real treat. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast with HR Starters, Mr. Brad Park. Good morning, sir.
Morning, Stone. How are you?
I am doing wonderfully. What a delight to have you on the show. Tell us a little bit about HR Starters, mission, purpose. What are you out there trying to do for folks?
Well, we started out years ago. Well, I started 30 years ago helping companies with recruiting and helping their humans and all that stuff. And I kind of got driven by that because I grew up in the home of a failed business owner. And there was a lot of anger and animosity and cruelty, really. And it sort of got me subconsciously to move toward this idea of helping businesses excel, exceed the people within them. Because I look at, like, there's unintended consequences where it helps the family within it. So I did this for decades without realizing that that was my driving force. I figured it out like 6 months ago. It's amazing how you can move in a direction. You don't realize why you're doing it. And then years later, you start realizing it. So 7 years ago, I went in to help a client. And the client was having trouble with their recruiting. They couldn't hire the right humans for what they were doing. They were selling for a large telco company. And actually, the client was my wife. So, and I've been doing it for 23 years, so I should be able to go. She's like, come in and help me. I'm like, this will take a week. And weeks into it, I couldn't figure it out. And a lot of things had changed in the hiring process. So I needed a software that at the time I couldn't find. We wanted to introduce texting to the communication of hiring a person. And we couldn't find it anywhere. So I can't say we're the first person to ever do it, but I couldn't find it. So the software person she was working with was an a-hole. He was rude. He was disrespectful. So I said, honey, I'll do it myself. So I, you know, wrote a bunch of notes. I hired coders and we built a software. And that was Applicant Starter. And the whole idea around that was to improve recruiting. That's all we focused on. It's all we focused on for 6 years, five and a half, 6 years. And over the course of evolution, we moved into having more of an HR suite. So anything that you needed to help fix the problem. So we continued on our quest. And our quest was always to how do we solve the problem? So we developed a recruiting software that sends and receives about 11 million text messages a year on top of everything else in the hiring process.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a little bit more than I expected. but we also now, we integrate, we build. So we partner with big companies like CareerBuilder, ADP. So they help us with payroll. CareerBuilder helps us with integrations and database. So that goes back to hiring and recruiting. We've got partnerships with My Telemedicine, so we offer people remote healthcare. So anything around hiring or helping you pay and manage humans in your small business, that's what we do. And the quest comes from, the whole vibe comes from, how do we help? Because the way we look at it is if we help the business, we help everybody within the business. And that's really what matters.
It's interesting that you opened the conversation describing, I guess, childhood. That you grew up in a family where there was a failed business. I would have thought that the last thing you would want to do is run a business.
That may be true, but so I had a conversation with my dad when I was about 12, and he ran a car dealership. And I said, "Why'd you close down?" He said, "There weren't enough hours in the day," and that always kind of stuck with me. Because keep in mind, that was a long time ago. It was over 40 years ago this conversation happened. My dad's passed, and no disrespect to him, but there's a lot of car dealerships around. And I noticed they didn't all go out of business because you ran out of time. So I've always looked at things like, if someone else can do something, why can't I? If a human can do something, why can't I? And I think everybody should look at it that way. I don't think you should ever look at anyone based upon success, failure, or otherwise, that you can't do what they didn't do. You know, and you can go back for examples over the, you know, thousands of years we've been in existence, the 4 minute mile, all that stuff. There's always somebody doing something while somebody else is saying it can't be done or it shouldn't be done or why are you doing it or whatever. When I went open up my first company in Western Canada in 1991, everybody said to me, why would you go there? It's cold. The day I got there, it was minus 60 with the wind chill.
Ouch.
Yeah, it's terrible. It really is painful. But you know, we went there and I was there for 2.5 years and had nothing but great success and had a wonderful time being out west. Do I want to go back there in the winter? No. And I haven't been in 20 years, but you can always make things work. And there's always reasons for things not to work. And you can always accept that whenever you want to. And it will just make you successful at being unsuccessful. Like, just do it.
You mentioned several HR services or things that one should think about and consider implementing if they're running an organization a little earlier in the conversation. What are, in your experience, some of the HR services or things that small business people in particular don't think about, neglect, don't think is important, don't do at all, don't do well? You must see some patterns in your line of work.
Unfortunately, yeah. So when I go into a client, if I'm actually going in to consult with them, the toughest part is normally the problem is the person who hired you. Because they're the boss, right?
Right.
And if they're leading the organization and it's not going well, it's pretty much their fault. So when you go in and figure that out in 15 minutes, and then you have to figure out how to explain that to them in such a way they don't want to just can you. So that can be kind of tough. But the reality is, like, everybody, when you're building a company, you can't build a great company with mediocre people. And most people are afraid to hire. I can't tell you how many business owners who have two employees are afraid to hire a third because they don't know what to do with them. So you got to reach out and find out how to do these things. And some people just accept. Other people get a coach. You know, I know a lot of great people who run very successful businesses, and almost all of them have a coach, a mentor, somebody who's guiding them to improve in who they are. It's not just getting good at what you do. It's getting good at who you are. And that's something a lot of people don't ever try to do.
I'm going to play that back to you at some point. Don't be surprised if there's a blog post or a brief little Business Radio X pro tip. Say that again. It's more about who you are than what you do. Say
people
that.
Try to get good at what they do. They don't try to get good at who they are. So,
yeah.
You know, and you hear a lot of the gurus and all that kind of stuff, but you really have to self-develop. Now, my parents had 8th grade and 9th grade education, I believe. And my viewpoint growing up was when you finish school, you can finish learning, because that's what I watched.
Yeah.
I never saw my parents take a class. I never saw my parents do anything in self-development. But as I got out in the world, I noticed that a lot of successful people are continuing to innovate themselves, work on themselves, try to learn more about different things. So I kind of got in that habit. And my wife and I always say we're lifelong learners, because if you don't continue to evolve as a human, then you're not going to be any better than you were 5 years ago. I always say, if you don't think you're an idiot 5 years ago, then you're an idiot today.
This guy's full of quotes, man. We should build a quote book out of this interview.
It's on my phone.
So I resemble some of these remarks. I know, at least I'm self-aware to know, I am horrible at the recruiting, and I think I'm particularly bad at the, oddly enough, at interviewing someone to work for me. I think I do a pretty good job of having conversations like this on the air, but when it comes to interviewing someone to come to work with us, I feel like I don't do a very good job. I don't have any structure, rigor, discipline. I don't know that I've ever learned the mechanics, and I feel completely like a fish out of water, completely incompetent.
Well, that's pretty common, actually. And even very successful people, it doesn't matter. You can get confused. So the first thing people need to do is actually interview the person, because what happens is you meet the person, then you like them, then you want them to work for you more than they want to work for you. And then you no longer interview them, you're just trying to collect them. You never want to collect. So the first thing, oddly enough, I don't have a ton of structure. I just try to get to know people, because I got to know if I want to work with this person, which means I'm going to spend time with them. And when I work with people, I don't just give them a paycheck. I have to help that person develop as a human. So if I'm going to do that, I'm going to have to spend time with this person. I'm finding out if I want to spend any time with them or not, because I don't want to offer just a paycheck. I want somebody that works with me to be able to grow and evolve as a person. And I can't do that if I don't like them. So part of it is I have to like the individual. And if I don't hire somebody, it doesn't mean I don't like them. They have to also be a fit. So the first thing I do when I'm interviewing somebody, I just say hi, and then I say, how are things going today? And I wait for the response. And if the response is nothing but absolutely positive, I won't hire that person, no matter how much I like them. No matter how sharp they may be, I will not hire them. They're innately negative. You know, if I was coming in today and, you know, we met at the front door and it was nice greeting, how are you and everything else. If I said, man, traffic was terrible today, I wouldn't hire that person. I know traffic's terrible when it's terrible, especially in Atlanta. When traffic's bad, it's bad. Last couple of months, it hasn't been bad. But we all know that. That's like you come in from the pouring rain and person says, oh, it's terrible out there. We know. We can see it. We can feel it. We're all wet. But if that's the first thing you mention at this time of your life, it's not permanent. I was a very negative person when I was younger. But that means you're in a negative state of mind. And it may not be every day, but it is that day. And that means I'm always safer if I don't hire that person. If somebody come in from the pouring rain and make a joke, that's the person I want to work with.
Any other red flags or green flags, to put it in my simplified language, that we ought to be looking for?
You know, most things are relatively obvious. Yeah. Some people do some crazy things when they interview. They'll come in and bring their family or their boyfriend or their girlfriend. I've seen all of it. If you put on a resume, if you read on a resume that their greatest accomplishment, or I'll put it in an application, what's your greatest accomplishment? If their greatest accomplishment is having a child, like, people do this. Now, don't get me wrong. I have kids, and I love my kids, and I think it's the greatest thing in the world. But on a job application, you're looking for your professional experience, not your personal birthing experience.
Sure. All right. So if, for example, Business Radio X is a client of yours, are you conducting interviews? Or are you helping us learn how to do a better job of conducting interviews? Or is there a little bit of both of that?
It could be a combination of anything. We can do interviews for people. We have systems that we can do everything. We can just deliver you the employees that you want to hire. We have discounts with CareerBuilder. You can get database. You can get job ads. And you can take our software and just run with it on your own. Obviously, we always, you know, provide some guidance and training and whatnot. We even have people who place ads for you because the job boards are different today. They're all SEO driven. So it used to be 7 years ago, which is this problem we solved for when we built this software initially. It used to be wherever you posted last, you're on top. So if you stop getting people applying, you just post another job. Well, now it's all keyword driven. So you got all the keywords out there. So if you use, when you're writing an ad, for example, if you use your internal terms, you may not get found on a job board. So you might just call, say, if you're looking for a salesperson, maybe you call them a success acquisition manager. Well, that's never going to come up in the keyword search.
You know, I would never look for that.
No. So you've got to sort of write it in the way the person you want to hire would search for it. So that's one thing. Sorry, stake my picture. It throws me off.
I'm trying to do double duty here. So we're starting to have people come back in the studio, for those of you that are listening in. And often I'll have someone with me who I did hire, and I did do a good job on that one, and they'll take pictures, and I'll host the show, and we have two or three people. But so Stone's taking pictures and conducting a conversation.
Solo show.
That's right. Like the one-man band with the guy with the cymbals and all, and
I love
all
that.
So what's your favorite part, man? What do you enjoy the most about the work?
When I see people evolve and grow as people, like I've coached for 30 years, I've coached people in business and helped them to develop their companies and whatnot, developed into, you know, multi-million dollar, 10, 15, 25, $100 million companies. And when you see people evolve and really get better at who they are, which sounds, you know, quirky, but when they get to the point where they realize who they are and they get centered and focused and they're able to really become the best version of themselves, it's one of the most inspiring things I've ever seen, felt, or connected with. And a lot of these people that I've worked with over the last, you know, three decades are very good friends because you work with them for a long time. And when you see them having their best life, you know, they have a successful business, they have a great family, they're living well, and they're able to share that with other people and do good things in the community, it's the greatest thing ever. Everything else is just tools and mechanics and things you use to do things. But the core of it, the great part of it, the greatness of everything is when you can improve other people's lives. Because if you affect a business, you affect not only the business owner and their family, but every family in that business. That's an unbelievable thing.
It must be incredibly rewarding work. And I I really never thought about it that way. Yes, you have a client or a small group of people who are your client, but the ripple effect, the ongoing impact of that.
They always, you know, see those ads for, you know, buy local and stuff. You know, when you buy local, you're not, you know, whatever CEO, you're buying, you know, putting, you know, food in somebody's table, or you're helping the local baseball team. That's really what it is. Most of the business in the United States is small business. Most of it.
Yeah.
And that's what's raising families and paying for school and, you know, putting school buses on the road and, you know, banners on places and whatnot. Like, most of that, that's what's important. These big business stuff, frankly, it's not my sweet spot and I don't understand it. Like, companies that are massive, that are just multi-billion-dollar public companies, they don't even turn a profit and they're worth hundreds of millions of dollars or billions.
I don't get that math either, man.
I don't, like... It's almost like how you run the government. We'll just print more money. Like, right. That doesn't work in my household.
All right. So we talked a little bit. We touched on recruiting and interviewing because, you know, it's my show. And so we talked about me for a minute. So and we know I'm not good at that. So I use this for free consulting. But for some other things, as we continue to grow, let's talk about me some more. You know, maybe benefits would be an interesting thing to explore, even though many of the people in our circle are independent contractors. But I can see maybe some employees. But it would be great if we could figure out how to layer in some degree of benefits. This is a whole other area that you consult in and around, right? Or you partner with Best in Class or both.
Absolutely. So we have a great partnership with Career Builder, and what they like to do is buy companies. So one of the companies I bought is a company called Workterra, and Workterra bought a company called My Telemedicine. So what My Telemedicine is, it's an app on my phone. I push the button 24/7, 365, and within 2 hours, a doctor calls me.
Sweet.
I can do a video chat, you know, have a conversation. Right now, my son's got an earache. So when I get home, I'm going to push the button. I'm going to talk to the doctor. We're going to discuss it. He'll write me a prescription. I'll go to the pharmacy, fill out the prescription. He'll never have to leave the house.
Wow.
And you can do that for the whole family.
So I mentioned, and it's okay if you don't have enough data of our situation to answer this question, but I am a little bit curious. Can you build an organization where and provide some benefits for people who are not necessarily W-2s? Is there a way to structure something where they can tap into some benefits as like some of these other organizations?
Absolutely, you can.
Okay.
It's just how you structure it. So with 1099, you have to treat every 1099 the same. You can't train them. They can't be an employee. You can't impose times on them. So and so. I mean, there's
lots of rules you got.
Yeah, it's almost like there's a checklist of 20 things, and you have to make sure there's enough on the right side. Because if they're on the wrong side, then that's an employee, whether you 1099 them or not. And then government comes out knocking on your door because they want taxes.
Right.
But you can offer them things still. Or because of our association, you get a better purchase rate than the next person.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
You can't give them things, but you can certainly organize it so they have access to something at a better rate.
So for you, how does the whole sales and marketing thing work for you? Do you have a sales team? Do you just go out and build relationships? Because sitting here talking with you, I would think most people who have a conversation of this depth probably end up writing you a check at some point. But how do you get into this conversation in your sales and marketing?
You know, we do a lot of networking, and these days a lot of it's virtual.
So yeah, no
a lot
kidding.
Of Zooms, which is weird. But can you imagine these times if we didn't have video? So that helps. But, you know, more than 95% of our business is referral-based. People, they work for a company. They use our systems, our softwares. They integrate with us. They deal with our support. And then they go work for another company, and then they call us up and say, I need you still. And then that's happened more often than I can say. We have hundreds of clients. And there is not a week that goes by that we don't get two or three referrals. There just isn't.
Oh, wow.
Because our systems are, they all talk to each other, and we're so unique in how we deal with a customer. Most of them have our personal cell phone numbers. I was on the phone with a customer yesterday, and they called my personal cell phone number. We had an interaction, had a discussion, and solved the problem. If you can do that in 60 seconds, just take the call.
Yeah. I do think sometimes I'll speak for myself, get a little overly enamored and are a little quick to implement something sexy, you know, like some sort of artificial's not fair, automagic thingy pick up the phone, just have a conversation with the lady and say, hey, here's what I think, or here's how, or I don't know, and I'll get back to you.
You know, I can't tell you, and that's in discussions, Kaylin, and I've had many times, it's okay to tell people you don't know. Because if you don't know, that's the honest answer. And people don't mind. We went into work with a client about a year and a half ago, and we walked out, and she started laughing. She says, I've never heard anyone say, I don't know, that often. But we took three pages of notes, and we got a bunch of answers. It took a couple of days, but, you know, we're never gonna say we can do something unless we can do it. We aren't going to.
So you mentioned these times. Again, for those of you who may be listening to this 6 months, a year and a half from now, we're kind of in the throes of this COVID-19 virus situation. And we're specifically in that position where people are starting to come back in the studio, but I don't know what the future holds. What has it been like for you? Have you found yourself pivoting, doing some things differently? Have you learned some things, good, bad? What's it been like for you over the last, gosh, I don't even know, has it been like 90 days already? Yeah, tell us a little bit about your experience.
So since about mid-March, and we're just the beginning of June now, it's been different. Obviously, a lot of remote. We're all working remote, and we've done a little bit of that anyway. No more lunch meetings. No more, you know, cocktails in the evening for networking and whatnot.
Ouch. I miss Margarita Monday, don't you, Kaylin?
I mean, we still, you know, do video cocktails, which is a little odd. But, you know, we got to figure out a reason to have a cocktail, right? So we focus on that. Other than that, the unintended consequences, which is whatever, you know, I've used that phrase a lot over the last couple of months. We found out, you know, our ideal customer, for example, insurance agencies. All our insurance agencies are still hiring, still looking for more people. So we've actually added customers during a time when you'd think we'd be, you know, losing customers. We've actually gained.
Really?
Absolutely. And it's during these times that we ended up with our partnership with ADP, which prior to that we weren't, and people just had more time. So somebody who I coached and worked with 15 years ago is with ADP, and she reached out to me, and we became an ADP partner. So all these things happen. And part of it, too, is I think what everybody, you know, coming out of this, coming out of COVID-19 and these, you know, unprecedented times, I've said that word more in the last 3 months than the previous part of my life, is business is going to want to stay agile. Mm-hmm. You don't want to get heavily leveraged. And I have more friends right now selling hand sanitizer and masks than ever in my life, I thought would be.
My favorite beer company is called Ology. It's out of Tallahassee, Florida, where my brother lives, and they're making sanitizer now.
Absolutely. Yeah, why not? I mean, I get it, but you got to be agile. So you're in, this is a perfect example. Years ago, Kodak decided they were in the camera business, and they were in mm-hmm. the film business. Well, there's not a lot of film anymore, is there?
No.
It's all digital. So they went out of business. Blockbuster was in the videotape business, and then the DVD business, and then they went out of business because streaming became, but they didn't evolve. You got to pivot. You got to move. You got to stay agile, especially in a small business. And, you know, there's a lot of restaurants that are hurting. All restaurants are hurting to some level. But, you know, I went to Canoe during the thing, and they had that drive around system to pick up food. They had that in place in no time. And when I tell you the two or three times I went there over the last couple of months, I never waited more than 5 minutes. Smooth, fast, boom. So there's ways to still continue to evolve. You just got to stay agile and don't dig into I'm only in this type of business. Yeah. Take a look at things and see what can you add, subtract, or do a little differently.
Now, you mentioned insurance companies. Is there a sweet spot, and is that it, or a type of industry or a sector or a type of company or a type of leader that is sort of your bread and butter? Or
we really thrive with insurance agencies and call centers mm-hmm. just because they need help hiring. They are constantly in a situation where they're trying to find the best people for what they do. So, yeah, that has turned out to be a pretty good sweet spot for us.
All right, so you seem to have navigated the last few months extremely well. What's the crystal ball look like? Where are you going to be putting your energy in the next, I don't know, 12, 18 months, you think?
I don't know about a crystal ball. Everybody's making their best bet, right? We're going to stay agile, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to really focus on insurance agencies and call centers and sales organizations. And, you know, we have a few clients in the restaurant industry I think we're really going to be able to help because they're going to be all trying to get their staff back. You know, again, unintended consequences.
Right.
The federal government, you know, add on $600 a week for unemployment. Well, there's some people who don't want to go back to work. I can't say I blame. If you're going to give me more money to stay home, why would I go to work?
Right.
I mean, that doesn't make any sense. So it's kind of an odd deal. You know, it's great, you know, to help everybody out. But now you got a person who's able to work, a company that wants them to work, and they make more money not to work.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to hurt somewhere.
I bet you are going to be talking to a lot more restaurants and maybe even whatever you call them, restaurant conglomerates or franchisory type.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'll bet.
And especially with franchises, like they have unique situations because they got a revenue share all the way up the line. So they have certain numbers they got to hit or they're going to be in real trouble.
So when you do get this business referred to you, walk me through at least sort of the early part of your process. I'm envisioning some sort of initial just sort of conversation, right? Just to get to know me a little bit. Yeah, walk us through like the early part of your engagement cycle, if you would.
Sure. The first thing we do is have a conversation because we want to understand what's the problem. Because oftentimes what the problem is not actually the problem. That's, you know, the symptom of the problem.
Mm.
So I will really want to find out the person's business, more about the person's company, because if I can't help, I know somebody who can, because we have a vast network. I mean, I've been in Atlanta for 27 years. You know, I know a lot of people who can help and do different things and whatnot. So I want to find out if I can help. I want to find out if I can refer somebody to who can help them and find out what the real problem is. And then we go through what our, you know, what the possible solutions are. And some people want full service and some people like, no, just give me the tools and I got this, I can handle it. And we're good either way. But I really, seek to understand, I think is always first. Because you can say, oh, I know exactly what the problem is. And you haven't even, you know, scratched the surface yet. You can find out what the actual problem is.
Fantastic. All right. So if some of our listeners would like to learn more, have a meaningful conversation with you or someone on your team, what's the best way for them to reach out? Whatever you think is appropriate, LinkedIn, email, phone, whatever.
LinkedIn's fine. I got a LinkedIn phone's fine. My cell phone is 404-444-6225, and that's my personal cell phone. I'm the one who picks it up.
Wow, he was really being genuine earlier in the conversation. He said, I'll pick up the phone. That's great.
And HRStarters.com is our website. There's all kinds of ways to contact people there.
Well, it has been an absolute delight having you on the show, Brad. Thanks so much for coming in and sharing your story, man.
Stone, thanks very much, and thanks for having us.
All right, until next time, this is Stone Payton for our guest today, Brad Park, with HR Starters, and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you next time on Atlanta Business Radio.
Today's episode of Atlanta Business Radio is brought to you by OnPay. Built in Atlanta, OnPay is the top-rated payroll and HR software anywhere. Get 1 month free at onpay.com.